Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Job chapter 14. While you're turning there, I heard a joke the other day. I'm sure that some will tell me, oh, this is old. I don't care. It's new to me. And it made me laugh. Little boy says to the Sunday school teacher, I know Jesus was born of a virgin, but was it the Virgin Mary or the King James Virgin? In Job 14 and verse 7, the Word of God says, For there is hope of a tree. There is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. There is hope for a tree that even if that tree is cut down, that if the roots sense water, then they will find that water. And when they find that water, even though there is nothing visible that is of any remaining value of that tree, it's nothing more than a stump. There is hope that life will enter that tree through the water that it finds, and it'll grow again. Now the word boughs there is in the Hebrew kasir, and it's a masculine noun that it means a branch, like a main branch. Now it refers to a fresh brow or a sprig springing forth from a stump, which is an indication of life. But also, and this is a little bit of a play on words in the original language here, also, it means a harvest and a reaping. And it refers to the time set by God when crops have ripened and the harvest and the activity of harvesting itself has come. Now, this is like a believer. This is why a believer never quits. This is why the only way to lose with God is quit. Now, we are going to speak the second part of the seventh part, in other words, part B, of success with God. This is our last part in this series. Always be faithful and never quit. The only way to lose with God is quit. Why? Because even if the tree is completely cut down, even if there is nothing of value remaining, if water can reach the roots, then life can come out of that tree and a harvest will be yielded. Fruit will be produced. Something new will come out of that life and it will be a brand new tree. We believers are like that also. Sometimes something happens in our lives, or maybe we fail. And sometimes believers will utterly fail, or maybe we are challenged to the point where we simply throw in the towel. And we say, okay, fine, no more. I don't have it in me to believe God anymore. And I simply walk away from God, from the ways of God, from the promises of God, from the things of God. This leads to a total cutting down of the tree. In other words, when a believer does that, they don't just lose what they were thinking. Very often they lose everything that God has given. I remember certain pastors years ago who quit when they said they were called to. They didn't quit pastoring, but they quit what they were called to. They quit the ministry they were called to. They quit the covering they were called to. They quit the doctrine they were called to, and they simply quit. And in that quitting, what they didn't count on was that when they quit that which God had called them to, they also quit all the things that God had added to them as they were seeking first the kingdom of God. And so those pastors, and there were a few of them, they lost their families, they lost their church, in some cases they even lost their health. They lost everything once they quit the ways of God. Sometimes believers fail. They maybe fall into horrible sin, or they maybe don't fall into sin outwardly, but they fall into unbelief, where they go after the world rather than after God and say, God hasn't done it for me. I'm going to have to find my way in the world. When they do that, and I know a pastor who has done that, he used to be a good friend of mine, they lose the things of God. He also lost his family. They lose the things of God when they have quit. They lose the opportunities they would have had. But God has not quit, only they have. When that happens, if the Word of God can come and reach the roots of that person's thinking, of that person's frame of reference, then they can be completely restored and bear fruit once more. Now, it is a difficult place to recover from. Notice it says that there is hope for a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. It's dependent on something, though. It's dependent on the Word of God reaching the roots. That doesn't always happen. There are believers who die, as it were, in the practical experience of their sin. They cannot die in their sin like the unbeliever, but in their practical life they are no different than the unbeliever, although perhaps they were once a very fruitful believer. But that is not necessarily the outcome. That is an outcome only if certain decisions are made to stay down once they have fallen, as do the wicked. The righteous fall and get up again. The difference between the righteous and those who in their practical experience are unrighteous is that when the righteous fall, they get up again, but the unrighteous stay down. However, if I do not quit, there is hope. And that hope is that if I simply draw near to the Word of God, the Word of God will start producing life in me again. If I simply draw near to the Word of God, the Word of God will start producing fruit in me again. The Word of God will start producing branches in the tree, and we are frequently in the Bible likened to trees. The tree will be a healthy and strong tree again. That cannot take place if the believer quits. But if the believer does not quit, it does not matter how bad the fall, that believer can be brought up again. In Romans 14:4, the Word of God says that that believer will be caused to stand. The most destructive thing in a believer's life is not sin, as destructive as sin is. The most destructive thing in a believer's life is quitting. Quitting the ways of God. Withdrawing from the body of Christ. Withdrawing from the pastor-teacher's covering. Withdrawing from the Word of God. Withdrawing from a call. Those things are profoundly destructive, because all other failure stems from that one decision. If a believer falls into outward sin, it is simply because somewhere in their life they have quit. And that person is capable of getting up again, but that is why it has happened. Somewhere in their life they stop believing God. They stop believing His character. They stop believing His promises. They stop believing what He has said. They stop believing His word. They stop believing His ways for their life. They have quit. Sometimes you will have parameters set by the Word of God, and those parameters take on a practical application. Let's say that you are in an organization that is of God, like a church or a Bible college or maybe a Sunday school program or whatever, a mission team, and parameters become set. And those parameters are based on wisdom of experience in the Word of God. The believer who says to themselves, I will not respect those parameters, is the believer who said to themselves, I have made a decision to quit. I have made a decision that I will not trust what God has to say in these things, and I will trust my own ways. And I will trust my own understanding. But Proverbs 3 says, do not trust in your own understanding, and let God direct your ways. But if I quit in the trusting of God, I will start to trust in my own ways. At that time, I start to lose opportunities. Number one, I lose the opportunities I would have had and taken. And though some of those may still come, but I will not take them. But number two, God will no longer bring opportunities that He knows I will not take. God minimizes damage. And so I lose not only the opportunities I would have had, I lose also the opportunities that I do have. And I lose God's willingness to bring opportunities, so long as I have quit. Don't quit. No matter what you do, you cannot lose if you do not quit. Think about it. Let's say that you have an athletic contest. So long as they don't quit, they can't lose. They may be down by 100 points. But the only reason why anybody loses is the referee says time. God also says time, but it's when I go home to be with the Lord. And then if I do not quit, Revelation 2 and 3 tells me that when God says time and I have not quit, that means I have been an overcomer, I am triumphant. And that is the place where I will receive reward in the Morning Star order, if I do not quit. And yes, it may seem difficult, and yes, it may seem overwhelming, and yes, it may seem hard on your emotions, and probably is. But don't quit. Bible college students, don't you quit. And I don't care how much the classes may challenge you or the schedule may be challenging. Don't quit. And if the temptation ever comes to quit, cast down the temptation and say, I will not quit. If you are married, you never quit. If you have a family, never quit on your family. If you have children, never quit on your children. If you are a child and you have parents, never quit on your parents. Never quit. The only way to lose is quit. If I quit, I've lost. And though that may not be in the eternal sense of my position, it certainly will be in terms of my rewards, and it will be in terms of my experience. Never, ever quit. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, this is an amazing portion of Scripture. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith and quit like men. I thought you said don't quit. How does a man quit? A man never quits. If I am a man of God, and if you're a woman, you're still a man of God. If I am a man of God, I will not quit. It says, be strong and let all your things be done with the love of God. You know what it says there in the original language when it says, quit you like men? It's andridiki. It's a present middle deponent imperative, and it means to behave oneself with the wisdom and the courage of a man, as opposed to a babe or a child in Christ. In other words, don't act like a baby. Get some guts and don't quit. If you're in Bible college, and the Bible college sets parameters for you, get some guts and live within the parameters set by the divine institution that is following the heart of God, and wisdom has brought forth those parameters through the Word of God. You don't quit. If you are in a church, you stay in the covering, you stay in your call, you stay as an active part of the body of Christ, expressing the portion that God has given you so that every joint might supply, and you don't quit. Get some guts, get some backbone, be a man and not a baby, and don't quit. That's what it means. Quit like a man. You don't. Only a baby, an infant, a child, a helpless little bottle sucker. That's the only one that quits. You don't quit. You don't quit. If you are someone who is facing challenges and difficulties in your life, you don't quit. You don't quit in the challenge. You don't quit in the difficulty. You get up. You get some guts. You trust God. You start thinking with the Word of God. You start appropriating the promises of God. And you walk right through it. And you be victorious because you have not quit. If your marriage is giving you some challenges, you don't quit. You get some guts. You stick it out. You go to God. You get His character and His love for your spouse. And you don't quit. If your children are giving you a hard time, you still manifest the character of God to children. You still be a proper parental head in your home. And you reveal the character of God to your children and teach them in the ways of God through nurturing and loving and patience and kindness, but also a firm hand and discipline when it is required, and you don't quit. If you are a child, you don't say to yourself, I don't like what my parents are telling me. I don't like the parameters that they have set in our home. I don't like what they are doing. I don't like what they are saying if they are godly people. You don't quit. You get some guts, get some character, get some backbone, and you keep going. You appropriate what God has set for your life, and you don't quit. It's that simple. Too many gutless, spineless, wimpy, bottle-sucking Christians walking around. You don't quit. You get guts, you don't quit. You're in a kingdom, you're not in a playpen. You're in an army, you're not in a sandbox. You don't quit. You don't quit. Never quit. Never ever quit. You don't quit. I don't care how bad the temptation. I don't care what kind of a pity party you want to have for yourself. And you pay attention when the Holy Spirit has something to say. You don't quit. You do it God's way, or you don't do it at all. Simple. Hey, do you think reality is going to escape you because it's little old you? It's not. You don't quit. You don't think the might of hand of God is right on top of you. Remember something. If you fall on the rock, you may be broken. But if the rock falls on you, you will be crushed. I'd rather be broken than pulverized. Some people tend to tempt God with their arrogant attitude in His face. I don't care what He wants. I care what I want. You're lucky to be alive. Don't you realize he's holding your molecules together? And if he decides at any moment of a nanosecond, that's it, then you're in eternity. Get some guts, get some backbone, get some intestinal fortitude. Don't be a wimp. And don't quit. Do it God's way. How many believers out there are unwilling to do it God's way? You know why? Because they're wimps. Useless wimps. You don't quit. You never, ever quit. You want to see the faithfulness of God come through for you? You don't quit. You want to see the fullness of who God is? You don't quit. What if Jesus gave the hard saying? Multitudes quit. Why? They were sissies. That's why. They were a bunch of pansies. Oh, he gave a hard saying. I can't handle that. He gave some definitions and I don't like it. It goes against what my little deceitful fleshly heart desires. Oh, I'm going to leave. I'm so offended now. What? What did Jesus say? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to follow your little flesh now. No, he said to the other disciples, you going to eat too? You going to quit too? You going to be a pansy too? They're probably looking at everybody going, oh, what's going on here? They're quitting. What do you think's going on there? They have no guts. Hey, there were 33,000 Israelites and God said, you got too many, Gideon. Took it down to 300. Why? Those were the 300 who wouldn't quit. Those were the 300 who were willing to do it God's way. By the way, the others, no mention of them ever being used or having any significance whatsoever in the kingdom. But those 300, boy, they changed the world. They had the guts to do it the God's way. Oh, but I want to do it my way. Well, why don't you have a pacifier? God is talking to you. God is talking to you. You get it? God is talking to you. Are you so self-oriented that you don't care what God has to say? Well, that's fine. Maybe God won't care what you have to say either. By the way, if your life is so self-oriented, you say, I don't care what God wants. Why do you think God will give one gooey what you want? Didn't think of that, did you? You don't quit, you get some guts, you do it God's way, and you keep moving forward with God. You don't quit as to the way things are done with God. You just don't quit. Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, not quit. Who is the one who faints? The one who has no more strength. They're so oofy and tired, and I just can't do it anymore. Oh, let's have a pity party. Hey, how many believers, and take this seriously, folks. Because this is an important one. How many believers live in a place where they're capacity to respond to God is utterly paralyzed by self-pity. If you indulge self-pity, you've destroyed your capacity to respond to God. At that point, you need to draw near to His Word so that life can spread out of the stomach. You don't quit. You see, what happens to people when they hear a message like this in some cases? In some cases, they love it. They humble themselves, they love it. Because although they're facing the challenges, they know the value, and they love it. But sometimes people will live in Proverbs 20, verse 6, where it says, most men. Now, it doesn't say some men, it doesn't say many men, it says most, the majority. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find it. There's a lot of believers who proclaim their own goodness before God. But in the end, they have no faithfulness toward God. They quit. You can proclaim any goodness you want. If you have no faithfulness toward God, your goodness is simply human good. And that's totally worthless. But they'll proclaim their goodness to themselves to justify quitting. You don't quit. You never quit. A faithful man in Proverbs 28:20 shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. What does that mean? A person who simply relies on God in all their ways will be abundantly blessed. But the person who is impatient toward God and tries to provide for himself what he thinks he desires or needs, that person will go against the ways of God. Folks, God has a way of doing things. If you want to be successful with Him, you never, ever quit. Quitting is your key to losing. Do you understand that? Quitting is your key to losing. But it's difficult, so it's the trial of your faith, which is more precious than gold. What is it that you are complaining about? Oh, but I have to wait so that you can renew your strength as an eagle. What is it that you are complaining of? But it's taken so long and I've got to be patient so that in patience you can possess your soul. What is it that you are complaining of? Or are you simply complaining because you don't have the guts and you don't have the manhood to stand before God? Christians need God. As I say one thing about today's Christianity, all too often it's utterly gutless. Why is it that so few Christians are out there evangelizing on the streets? Whether it's going door to door, whether it's heading out tracks on the street, whether it's having a Bible club or a bus ministry, why is it that so few are out there? You know why? Why is it that some pastors refuse to evangelize or sometimes the churches refuse to evangelize even though the pastor wants to, or the pastor doesn't, even though the church does? Why do you think that is? No guts. Spiritual wimps. Infantile mentalities within the kingdom of God. When it says, be as a child in faith toward God, receive the kingdom as a little child, it doesn't mean receive the kingdom is one who is childish. It means simply and purely trust, and that's where your manhood comes from. Ladies, I got news for you. You want to find a real man? Get one who's learned how to trust God in all His ways. For whoever single men may be listening, you want to find a real woman? Find one who's learned how to trust God in all her ways. Why? Because they won't quit. And then 10 years down the road, when things get a little bit rocky because the trial of your faith has entered into your relationship, they won't quit then either. You show me these people who are so mansy-pansy all about them. And the first thing that happens when they get it is when things get a little tough, they forsake it. Well, there was some serious manhood. There was some serious character. There were some serious backbone and guts.
Well, it's not what I expected.
Duh! Do it God's way and you won't be disappointed. I don't care what it is. Smallest detail to the largest issue of your life. Do it God's way and you won't be disappointed. You don't quit. You don't quit and say, I'm going to do it my way.
Well, I don't agree.
Well, aren't you high and mighty?
Oh, he's
run into these delusions.
Well, I agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Oh, you're so puffed up. It's a wonder you don't blow away like a balloon. Somebody needs to put a needle in your head.
I don't agree. Well, you're something special.
Why don't you get right with God and get a little humble? Hey, Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a man who has learned not to quit, who has learned the faithfulness and the goodness of God, who will not quit on God no matter what, his steps are ordered by the Lord. One thing about God, he knows more than we do. Funny how that works. How many of you know what will come tomorrow? Show of hands. Tomorrow, I know exactly all the details that are happening tomorrow. I know who I'm going to run into, what they're going to say, what they're going to think, their heart is their thinking and saying these things. I know exactly what's going to come my way, when it's going to come tomorrow. Show of hands. How many of you have that? I think God knows a little more than you do. The ways of God are better than the ways of man. You don't quit. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Folks, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. You get that? If you sow to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. You get that? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. If we don't quit. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Folks, it's really very simple. If you want to do it your way, God says go ahead, but you're going to reap corruption from the flesh. That you don't have the option in. Do you understand that? You want to do it your way, go ahead, but you're going to reap what you've sown. Now, Joe, you have a farm. Have you ever sown corn and then ended up reaping something like tomatoes? Not once. When you sow corn, you reap corn. And when you sow tomatoes, you reap tomatoes. Why do you think that in your lives it can be any different? If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Now and here. Not a future promise in this lifetime. Do you get that? That's the Bible. What part do you not agree with? Take that up with the guy who wrote it. By the way, as you do that, remember he is much bigger than you, and it's only at his good pleasure that you are still breathing. Just a word of caution as you talk to the mighty king or about him. It amazes me sometimes How many believers will blow God off as though God was going to win? It amazes me the mercy that they're still alive. Simple as that. Now, the people who are out there listening on the internet, you may like this, you may not like this, I don't care. It is the Bible, it's the Word of God. You may say, well, I read it differently, I don't care. You can read it wrong all you like. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says you don't quit. Not in the little, not in the great. The Word of God says that if I am faithful in little, then I will be rewarded in much. If I don't quit in the little, I will be rewarded with much. The Word of God says in Revelation 22 and verses 26 through 28 that if I simply don't quit, if I simply do it God's way and don't yield from that, I will rule over the nations and I will receive a crown of life. Folks, those are among the highest rewards that eternity has for the believer. Now, you may think you want what you want when you want it, but do you have any clue what you're talking about at all? Because I'll tell you right now, with that kind of thinking, you really are clueless. You're going to be here 70 and out if you're fortunate. Some a little bit more, some a little bit less. But then you're going to be alive forevermore in eternity, and you will have the rewards that were given you for the life that you live in the preparation season of time. Folks, think about the trade. Think about the trade. You don't. You do it right the first time. You know why? There isn't a second opportunity of the same kind. So just do it right. Don't quit. You can't lose if you never quit. You can't win if you do. You cannot be successful with God if you quit. The only way to be successful with God is don't quit. Amen.